Aye.
As we prepare to break the bread of life, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We want to praise God always for his goodness and his mercy and his truth and his faithfulness. Amen. And I will say this, you be faithful to God, he will be faithful to you. Praise the Lord. So we want to continue to be faithful unto what God has called us to. Bless the Lord. And keep on keeping on. Amen. I don't have any intentions of turning around. I don't have any intentions of quitting. Although some may give up and turn around, I can't turn around. Amen. You know, there's nowhere to go. Bless God. But more than that, God has just been too good. Praise the Lord. So let us continue to pray for this church. Amen. Continue to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ as we move forward in the Lord. We've been doing a series on Back to the Basics. So we're going to pick up, we're going to deal with Jesus in the office of prophet. Most people don't think of Jesus Christ as a prophet. Praise the Lord. But the Bible very plainly teaches us, amen, that Jesus Christ stands in the office of king, high priest, and also as prophet. But we also want to understand that Jesus Christ is more than a prophet as well. But let's talk about that today. Praise the Lord. Okay, as prophet, everyone knows what a prophet is. As prophet, Jesus reveals God to us. And when God calls a prophet, God calls a prophet, giving the prophet, amen, and you know there's such a thing as prophet and prophetess. I got to make that point as well, because some would like to leave out the idea of prophetess, amen, but God calls whom he will. And who are we to say that God can and won't call anyone? He calls whom he will. So as we study the Word of God, we find prophets and we find prophetess in the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit and ministering with power and boldness. Bless the Lord. Amen. So don't ever let anybody look down on you because of who you are and what they think you should be. Just be who God called you to be. Praise the Lord. God showed me that way back when I first started preaching and pastoring, and showed me about my young age. And some would look upon that thinking I was a very young pastor, but God showed me that scripture when he told me not to be concerned about people looking down at me because of my age, or you must not allow people to look down on you because of who you are. Praise the Lord. Now let's deal with prophets a minute. Prophets represent God. They speak for God. They reveal God to us. Okay? They communicate to us the things that God wants us to know. And that's the reason why many times when you see prophets operate in the place of prophets, you hear them speaking forth through the power of the Holy Spirit, not only spiritual things, but they can look into the spiritual realm, and God can speak to them and show them things in the spiritual realm, and what their job is to communicate that to the people of God. Praise the Lord. So in Deuteronomy, write down Deuteronomy 18 and 15, Deuteronomy 18 and 15, let me read that. It says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. So who is it that raises up a prophet? Does the church body raise up a prophet? Does the church body, through its sanctions, sanction a prophet? No, they only affirm what God has already done. It is the Lord who raises up a man, a prophet. Praise the Lord. So it says, the Lord your God will raise for you. Right? There it is. It's for us. It's for our benefit. We see that in the New Testament. God talks about his pastors and leaders and ministers. Amen. He says, amen, that God has given us these individuals, these people in these places to profit us. So God has given us, amen, a prophet for us. He says, like me from among you. So like me being they're going to have the heart of God. Amen. They're going to have the type of lifestyle that declares that they are God's representatives. Praise the Lord. He says that from your countrymen, you shall listen to him. There's his word, amen, to us, that we are to listen to the prophets or prophetess that God has raised up, giving them a word for the people of God. Isn't that good news? God's message is that he would raise up a prophet that the people must listen to, amen, heed to the instructions of God. These are not instructions from the prophet. These are not instructions from the prophet Kid. And that's why we have to be careful, even as God's leaders and even as prophets and prophetesses and ministers and pastors and apostles and evangelists and teachers and all of that, we have a responsibility because we, amen, are up under God's delegated authority. Praise the Lord. And if God calls us to be a prophet, amen, it is not us, it's the Lord. We're just God's representative. So we must not raise ourselves up above what God has placed us. Isn't that good news? His authority extends from God himself. So the prophet or prophetess's authority, we have to understand that because sometimes I think some people don't understand that. The authority is not the pastor. The authority is not the individual. The authority is God's spoken word, spoken as God's representative, which means that God backs it. We are just as ministers and pastors and prophets and prophetess. We are God's spokesman. We are God's mouthpiece, if you will. But the authority behind what we say, amen, is backed by God. And that's the reason why I get a little concerned sometimes when I see people who may not understand that, is that the authority is not according to Pastor Well. The authority is according to the Lord. I'm just his mouthpiece. Praise the Lord. So his authority does not extend from us, but it extends from God. And to reject him is to reject God. He is God, or she is God's mouthpiece, and the Lord's representative here on this earth. God raises these prophets and prophets up to be his representative to communicate those things that God wants his people to know. It's just that simple. We make these things so complicated, but it's real simple. It's just that we're God's mouthpiece, and we're speaking forth the things of God that God wants his people to know. Jesus did that. Is that right? He spoke those things that God wanted his people to know. Okay? So we see, let's move on in Mark the 8th chapter, verses 27 to 29. Mark 8, 27 through 29. Although people will hear, and sometimes we pick up things, we hear things, amen, in the know, and sometimes people pick up certain information, but they don't necessarily fully understand, amen, what it is that they're hearing. And so we see that people said that he was a prophet only because they heard and they know that he was a prophet, but they didn't fully understand that this man called Jesus was the greatest prophet of all. In Mark, the 8th chapter, the 27th through the 29th verse says this, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Who do men say that I am?" Now, that's a question that all of us as believers and as children of God must answer. That question is, who do men say that I am? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Who do you say that I am? Now, first of all, who do men say that I am? And then he turned around and said, now, okay, good. So they said, some say you're Elias, and some say that you're John the Baptist. Some said, oh, one of the other prophets. Notice they say prophets. So they would allude to the fact, amen, that Jesus is a prophet. Praise the Lord. Okay, so he says here, who do you say that I am? And he said unto him, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Son of the living God. So when Jesus one day interrupted a funeral procession and raised up a young lad, the word went out that a prophet was risen among them and that God had visited his people. So in Luke the 7th chapter, let's read that. It says that he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Isn't that awesome? Jesus was just minding his own business, amen. There was a funeral service going on. There was a procession going on. A young man had died. And Jesus Christ interrupted the funeral. Some will say, oh, wow, he interrupted a funeral, amen. How dare him? But Jesus was getting ready to do something great. As the prophet of God, as the healer, as the man of God, he's going to change their situation. Sometimes God will break through whatever procession in life that you're going through. Sometimes God will break through the grief and the heartache and the pain that you may be feeling. You may be minding your own business. All of a sudden, God enters the scene like he did with the young lad and the family who had lost their son. Praise the Lord. What did he do? He interrupted the funeral with authority as a prophet and a man of God trusted young man and told him to arise. And this young man got up out of the coffin and he raised him from the dead. Isn't that awesome? So how would you like God to enter into your situation and interrupt whatever that is that you may be going through? Whenever God enters the picture, if he has to interrupt the situation, you know, if he has to interrupt your situation that's causing all the pain, he will come right in and he will stop you, stop everything, and he will change everything, the whole situation, just like he did this young lad. But what was the response from this when Jesus Christ raised him up? Verse 16 says that. The Bible says, and fear came on all, and they did what? Glorified God. And that's what happens. As the prophet of God, usually when you're performing and doing the things that God called you to do, sometimes you're going to see these great men and women of God performing miracles and great wonders on God's behalf, conducting the kingdom of God here on this earth. Praise the Lord. And the result of that, people will do what? They will glorify God. That a great prophet, that what? A great prophet is risen from among us. And they're really quoting Deuteronomy that we talked about. A great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. So there it is. So when we see a prophet or prophetess that enters the scene and the Holy Spirit is moving, again, even in the church atmosphere, the church venue, what happens is when God enters the place, God visits his people. And when God visits his people, he gives us a word. Praise the Lord. We don't have to catch a plane and go all the way to Florida to hear some great person that is world-renowned. No, you can go right to your local church, amen, and through the power of the Holy Spirit and the prophet that he has raised up, amen, he will speak to his people and God will visit his people. Matter of fact, you can take it a step further. God will even visit your house. Praise the Lord. Some people will go on from all around the world to find someone that they feel are connected with God. You need to understand something. You are connected to God yourself. Say that. I am connected to God myself. Say it one more time. I am connected to God myself. Now, what that means then, therefore, is God will speak to you. Don't ever look at someone else and think that they are so spiritual and have reached such a spiritual level or spiritual plateau, amen, that God has to speak to them but won't speak to you. God will speak to you just like I'm talking to this mic. God will reveal things to you just like he has revealed things to others. God will show you things just like he has shown things to others. You just have to have faith, and you have to have, watch it now, I'm getting ready to say something now. You just have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. The problem is most people cannot hear from God because they have not opened up their ears. They have not placed their heart and placed themselves in a position to hear a word from the Lord. You don't have to go somewhere and listen to some person in order to hear a word from the Lord. You can hear a word from the Lord right there in your bedroom. You can hear a word from the Lord right there in your kitchen. You can hear a word from the Lord right there in your backyard. You can hear a word from the Lord in your car. But you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You have to have faith and know that you are connected with God. I never allow anybody to look, no matter what their position is, how great they may be, amen, how large the congregation may be, whether they're wherever they are, I never allow anyone to look down on me because I know who I am in God. I know who I am in Christ. I don't have to run to a conference to get a word to come back and give to you God's people. All I have to do is get down on my knees and open up my ears and open up my heart, open up the Word of God, and God will give me a word for his people. He has never stopped doing it, neither will he ever stop doing that, because that's just how he works. Amen. Sometimes you just got to get along with God. The problem is, amen, people haven't gotten along with God. They haven't, amen, sought him. They haven't, you know, fallen down on their knees. They haven't just stopped the minute and stopped speaking and allowed God to speak to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's the reason why I'm just saying, presenting to you the fact that, and I know you don't doubt that. I know you know that God called me to preach, amen, to pastor, to be whom God called me to be, just as he has called you to be who he has called you to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. But let me just say this. God always gives me a word from on high. I don't even believe that's even possible if you're connected with the Holy Spirit and connected with God. There never will be a shortage of messages that God wants to tell his people. Come on. There are some ministers that create 12 messages, Sister Evangelist. Amen. 12 messages. And after they preach those 12 messages, they're ready to move to another church. Why? Because then they, you know, go back and review those messages that they created. Bless the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with re-preaching what has been preached before. Like Pete Jake said, if it was worth preached once, it's worth being preached again. That is not it. But the idea that God only will give us 12 messages, amen, and then it's all messages for 12 months, and then that's it. I don't believe that, because God is a wealth of information. God has a wealth of resources and a wealth of spiritual things that he wants his people to know, and a wealth, amen, of things that he wants to tell his people, messages from the Lord. Praise the Lord. So therefore, if I'm always are in tune with the Lord, I will always have a message from the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
And some people have even asked me, how is it that you can preach every Sunday and have a word from the Lord? That's because God has a word. And there's never a shortage for him when it comes to something that he wants to show his people. Why? Let me show you why. Because everybody that's sitting in this room right now, everybody that are in the church service at that particular time, have something that God wants to show them. Have something that God wants to reveal to them. Praise the Lord. And so, amen, every Sunday is different, because every time you enter into this room, into the place of the Lord, we all have a need. We all have something that God wants to show us and reveal to us. And if that's the case, that God has something that he wants to show us, then that means that he is always going to have a word, he's always going to have a message just for you at that time, at that moment, at that place, just for you. You ever been to a service? I've had it happen even as a minister. People come up to me after the service, Sister Evangelist, and they ask me, you knew, right? And I say, what do you mean? And they go, you know, such and such must have told you. My husband told you. My wife told you, didn't she? What do you mean? Well, we're going through this, and you preached it in your message. My wife told you, didn't she? No, she didn't tell me. What are you talking about? Well, in your message, you said something that was very specific to what we're going through. And how did you know that? I didn't know that. But the Holy Spirit did. Amen? And I'm a firm believer, amen, it is true that the anointing, somebody said that, the anointing, when you talk about the anointing of God, amen, whenever you talk about the anointing and the power of God, it's not the person that's standing in the pulpit. Guess what? It's the people that are sitting in the pews. What does that mean? That means that God and his anointing operates according to the need. If we have a group of people that come into the church of God, say, I don't have any, pastor, preach anyway. Because the power is based on the need. If you have a need, then God will meet that need. Praise the Lord. So the anointing, amen, is as powerful as the need. And that's the reason why when you come to the house of the Lord, you got to come into the house of the Lord, amen, seeking after God. Not looking at the form or fashion or who's speaking or the minister, amen, or the people. You got to be calling out to God, amen, from your heart. And when you call out to God from your heart, God will say something to you. And as a prophet of God, I have to be in a position to hear what God wants me to speak and say to you, God's people. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I want you to understand this, amen, God will speak to you. And whatever your need is, like you see, hear me say it all the time, God knows your address. That means he knows exactly where you are at this particular time. He knows what you're going through. And through the Holy Spirit, many times he will speak through his prophet or through the man or woman of God and say a word from the Lord that you would say, how did he know or she know that? Thing is, we don't. It's that the Holy Spirit does. And all he does is speak through us something that God wants you to know. He may want to settle you. Praise God. You may be sitting and smiling on the inside, but all kind of turmoil may be going on the inside. Not because you're sad or unhappy, but it may be just because something that you're going through. And you're trying to work your way through the landmines of whatever the situation is in your life. And you're trying to work through that. And so there may be a whole lot of turmoil that's just turning on the inside. That God wants to settle you and show you that everything is all right. He got everything in control. Everything, amen, God has in the control. And he may speak a word to let you know that. Despite everything that's going on around me, amen, the situation may seem bad. And whatever the situation, seem like you may not come out of this thing. You seem like you may not be able to work that thing out. But it's not up to you anyway. It's God going to work it out. Like we sing the song, Jesus will work it out if you let him. So, but God will just as he operates, will show you that he knows what you're going through.
Amen.
And he will speak through the prophet, through the man or woman of God, to let you know, amen, that he's fully aware of the fact of what you're dealing with, but he will also give you the answer, amen, to whatever situation you're going through. And he speaks through his prophets and prophetess in such a manner. So again, it will always be a message from the Lord. I'm a firm believer in that. All right, let me move on. So they said, you must be one of the prophets that was spoken of. All right, so in Luke 7, he sat up, began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother, the Bible says, and the Bible spirit came upon her, they glorified God, and they said it was a great prophet. When Jesus healed the blind man who was blind from birth, he sat on the ground and made a salve. But Jesus Christ made a holy eye salve. Amen. Somebody say holy eye salve. Woo! Say it one more time, holy eye salve. I know some people don't believe that God is a healer. Amen. But let me tell you something now. Now, God does things sometimes in different ways for a reason. Sometimes God may do something to see if you, first of all, have the faith, and second of all, are willing to humble yourself in order to receive your blessing. Now, think about it a minute. If you were standing there, and somebody spit on the ground, I'm like, ah, Pastor, that's rough. You got to talk about this word of God. Amen. Well, that's rough. You know, I don't want nobody, amen, putting dirt and, you know. Well, you may just miss this out on your blessing. You may have started off being blind from your birth. You may continue to be blind for the rest of your life. If you can't swallow your pride, forget about who sat on the ground and understand that this is holy eye salve. Come on, somebody say holy eye salve. Holy eye salve. Jesus sat on the ground, the prophet of God, scooped up the clay, and put it on the man's eye. I mean, that's gross. No, it wasn't gross. It was God ministering the power of God. So that this man that had been in, was in a situation where he couldn't see. Somebody was born that way. Couldn't see his whole life. Now you don't let the situation of thinking of the fact that he sat on the ground caused you to miss out on your blessing. Finally, he sat on the ground, screwed up the clay, put it on his eyes, and now. Now. Right? Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Meaning sin. In other words, he had to send him. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. Presently, he had to send him. There was a reason why he had to send him. Because, see, he had to exercise his faith. He said, I'm not going out. I'm burying him still on the ground. Now wipe it on my eye now. He's telling me to go to some river to wash. See, because now you got to exercise faith. I know a whole lot of people don't want to get on top of that faith stuff. No, wait, it's going to take faith for you to be healed. Come on, I know. Amen. Sometimes we don't do what God says. God does things for a reason and a purpose. And he very purposely sat on the ground for a reason. He purposely scooped up the dirt. I'm going to say dirt. How God is going to heal somebody with dirt? Ah, come on, somebody. Well, I'd rather go to the doctor. Well, can I tell you something? There are situations when the doctor don't know what to do, but God has the answer. And his answer may be in the dirt. But he scooped it up, put it on his eyes. Now, from that point, it was going to take some faith for him, amen, to go down and do what God said to do and wash himself in the pool of Siloam like a prophet said do. The great prophet or prophet said, go down to the pool and wash. And my Bible says when he did what God told him to do, which take faith, right? Amen. Somebody say faith. You got to take faith, amen. I'm saying you have faith, and then Jesus tell you to do something that you may not understand, amen, and you don't do it. You got to do it in order to see your blessing. You got to do it in order to see your healing. You got to do it in order to see your blessing. And it's going to take some faith. God said, amen, he's going to do it. And I know it took a little time from the time that Jesus told him to wash to the time that he got to the pool. But he had to exercise some faith. And I know sometimes it may not look like what God said it's going to be, but you need to hold on and believe what God said that he's going to do. And he went down there and washed, and as the great prophet of prophets, Jesus Christ, amen, said, he would be healed. And my Bible tells me he came back whole.
See, Jesus can change a whole situation, a lifelong situation. Have you ever been in a situation, seem like certain things in life been that way all your life? Seem like nothing was ever going to change? Some people get to the point they resolve within themselves and the devil fools them and tell them that, well, that's just the way it is. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
The devil is a liar. That is not just the way it is. It's just the way it is that you allow, amen, the devil to fool you and to tell you that's just the way it is. No, God can't take away. No, God can't change the circumstance. It's not just the way it is. Because God can change the situation from the way it is or the way that you see it and to the way that God wants it to be. Oh, come on, come on. Oh, good God Almighty. Woo, we're rolling in high cotton now. Faith! It's going to take some faith. You've got to believe God. He tell you to go wash in the pool, go wash in the pool. Do it. Just do it. Bible says he came back. Yes, he did. What was their confession? Woo! Great prophet has risen from among us. Yes, that's just the way it is. Some of the very ones who should have rejoiced of the miraculous wonder that God wrought through him, but the Pharisees said he was not from God. Can you imagine that? Jesus just performed a great wonder, and some of the very ones that should have been praising the Lord and glorifying and rejoicing and calling everybody else, come on everybody, let's rejoice in the Lord, for he has done great things. What did they do? They criticized him. Huh? He's not from God. I fear him. Do anything on the Sabbath. See, because sometimes you miss out on your blessing because your tradition, because your religious theology, because what God is doing don't agree with your theology, so you miss out on your blessing. See, because God's not going to do it the way we think he's going to do it. Come on, somebody say amen. Everybody in there said, well, he got it. Can I tell you something? If you really want to see God move, can I tell you something? Listen. Take God out the box. Say it. Take God out the box. Because too many people got God in a box. And God can't do what he wants to do in a box. He's from everlasting everlasting. He's from beginning and end. He's everywhere at all times. He can do anything but fail. And he can do more than you can dare to ask or think about. But the Bible says that it's according to the power that work in us. There's got to be some power working in you. There got to be some faith working in you to know that he can do what he can do.
Amen.
Oh, bless God. Oh, my goodness. Woo! Thank you, Holy Spirit. I thought this was going to be an intellectual meeting today. I thought we were just going to, expound on some information about Jesus Christ as a prophet of God. I didn't know God has a word for his people. He is a God of power. When he sends his prophets, he sends them for a reason. And he sends the greatest prophet of all, the prophet of prophets. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. This is good information. This is good news. This is the power of God that will change the situation.
Hallelujah.
And while people should have been rejoicing, they were criticized. While people should have been rejoicing, they were saying that this man can't be from God. They criticized it. But the Pharisees said that he was not from God because he broke their man-made laws and did not adhere to their religious theology. Can you see that? And that's the reason why. I know. I may not, like I once said before, and somebody corrected me, and I don't mean it in a bad sense, amen, when I say this, amen. I don't say it in a negative sense that I don't have, amen, self-esteem. But I say it to make a point. I may not be as polished as some preachers are, amen. Bless God. Come on, somebody say amen. But certainly the Holy Spirit is in me and he speaks through me. Glory to God. And so, my brothers and sisters, God will use whom he will. Won't he do it? And so I said that to say, some people are looking for, I don't know what they're looking for, but if you're looking for the power of God, it's here. I don't know what some people are looking for, but if you're looking for truth, it's here. I don't know what some people are looking for, but if you're looking for the power of God, it's here. If you're looking for the word of God, it's here. If you're looking for faith, it's here. If you're looking for healing, it's here. Now, I may not be the traditional pastor that do it, amen, just like, amen, the traditional church would do it. I may do it a little bit different, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. God is in this place. Praise the Lord. And there's a day coming when God is going to reveal this in a great, a miraculous, enormous way that God is with you and me, His people here at this great church. Praise the Lord. So we may not do it like the traditional church does it, but God is in this place. And God may do things a little different. I like it that way. Bless God. Don't put no chains on me. God ain't put no chains on you because we want to do it how He want to do it. And we don't want the boy, Lord, you can't do that. He don't want to focus over, you can't do that. I'm sorry, but that's not the way it's done. Our denomination say you can't do it that way. The board says you can't do it that way. The conference says you can't do it that way. Bless God. And that's the reason why, amen, many times, amen, I'm just, hey, listen. You know, like T.J. said, if you can't be in a position to represent God, every time you move, you got to say, Mother, may I? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're part of some group, amen, that says you can't move unless we say you move, you can't wear unless you wear what we say you should wear, you can't walk certain places unless we say you can go there, when God tells you to go, you need to go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that is the reason why, amen, sanctuary, you know, hang on to me and I'll take you somewhere. I said, oh no. I said, oh no, you can't take me anywhere. Because I'm only going to go where God is going to take me. No, I'm not going to hang on to your skirt tail. No, if you go up and I'm going to pull you up, no, the devil is a liar. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In the process of being manipulated and used and abused as God's representative, no, I can't do that. I have to do what God said to do. And let me just say that and move on. I'm not concerned about a position. If it was, I would have been there a long time ago. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not looking to be overseer of some region. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Of being the some regional leader of some conference. I want the last two that when God says do, I can do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is, being the prophet of God, Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do. He didn't have the limitations that all these religious leaders. If he would have had those limitations, he wouldn't have healed the blind man. If he had those limitations, he wouldn't have interrupted that funeral. Because listen, people say that we don't do it that way because you interrupted a holy convocation. You interrupted a holy procession. There's a funeral going on. Be quiet. Don't you move. There's a procession going on. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to let the funeral continue and the man continue to be dead? Or you will enter into somebody's situation and break up their theology and break up, amen, their lack of faith and say, you need to have some faith because I'm going to rise up and call this young man to get up out of his coffin and rise up and leave. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. It was left up to religious leaders. This young man was still going to be in his grave. And you need to understand that because it was left up to some religious leader, Trump would still be in the situation that they're in. Because of tradition. Because of creed. Because we didn't do it that way. Right. That's why God didn't pay me that way. Amen. So there was a reason why I didn't go up in Pharaoh's house. Amen? Because I'm here under the tutelage of some things that would have handcuffed me for being able to do what God wants me to do. Jesus wouldn't allow it to happen. Is everybody with me? So while they should have been rejoicing because Jesus Christ, amen, healed this man, amen, they were criticizing. When they should have been rejoicing, amen, they were accusing that Jesus Christ is not being from God. Because he healed on a Sabbath day. Isn't that something? This is what Jesus Christ had to say about that. Would you rather do good and provide a need that is necessary even on the Sabbath? Would you that if you had a donkey that fell in a hole and was about to lose its life, that was your life-sustaining ability for your donkey to be able to meet and make your daily living?
Look at you if you step in the hole when you do not get a rope and pull them out on the Sabbath. But Jesus Christ was making a point. Amen? God is a holy God. Amen?
Oh, bless his name.
He didn't make you for the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for you. Bless God.
So, in other words, when it needed to be fulfilled, the Sabbath did not hinder him from healing this man. Are you hearing me? And he did not allow the religious leaders to hold him in the box to keep him from doing what God wanted him to do. Otherwise, somebody would have missed out on a blessing. All right, let me move on. Okay. So the religious leaders said that they were part of Moses' group. You know, we're part of Moses' camp. See, you have to understand what's happening here in this text. Amen. Because the reason why they said we're part of Moses' group, because remember, I'm talking about a prophet, and they said, well, we're part of Moses. Moses was a great prophet of God. We're part of Moses' camp. That's where they were trying to draw the authority. But they took the very thing that God showed Moses when he came down off the mount. They took the very thing and took, amen, what God gave them, the Ten Commandments, and managed to come up with 400 and some odd laws from that. Wouldn't you say that man made? Amen. God gave him 10, and they came up with 400 and some. Amen. I would say that perhaps maybe it was not from God. Maybe that's the reason why Jesus didn't adhere to those things. Amen? But, you know, they wanted their credibility. You know, we get our credibility from Moses, so they want to make that connection with Moses, but they missed it. They said, we are Moses' camp, that great prophet Moses, but there was somebody that was greater than Moses that was standing right before them. Isn't that something? Woo, glory to God. Isn't it somehow how people can be right before their blessing and miss it? They can be right before God and miss it. They can be right before Jesus and miss it. Right before the greatest prophet of all. We from Moses' camp. And they said that they were Moses, God's prophet. And that they were Moses' disciples. But they failed to realize one greater than Moses was here. They said, we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not where you came from, and we don't even know who he is. They're talking about Jesus now. Can you see that? They made the connection with Moses, and here one that represented the one that was right before him, who was the Son of God. Are you seeing? Can you see the picture? Amen. They're saying, well, we know about Moses. Well, who is that? Who is this character? Who is this fellow? Where did he come from? Who is he? By what authority is he doing what he's doing? Is he a Pharisee? Does he talk to a, is he a part of this great leadership in a conference? If he's not a part of us, then surely he can't be from God. Hope somebody hears what I'm saying. Let me say this before I move on. If you are somebody that God called, don't you let somebody exclude you from some group, amen, because you're not a part of the us's when you know that God called you to do. Listen, you need to stop crying, complaining, amen, talking about they, oh, woe is me because they won't accept me. Listen, it doesn't matter if they won't accept you. You need to understand God has already accepted you. So part of you, because you're not part of some group, no, God accepted you. God gave you the assignment. Go do it. And God will bless you. So, all I'm saying is, just do what God say do. Amen. Don't worry about, you know, other people and what they're saying. All right, let me move on. So when they asked the man who healed him, this is where I'm going, his answer was, he was a prophet, a great prophet. Amen. Start speaking of Jesus. Now, quickly, write down St. John 9:15, because I'm running out of time. 19:15 says this. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how had he received his sight? And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I watch and do see. Therefore, then, some of the Pharisees, it wasn't enough for them. Well, that's not enough. If you look at the story, they first interrogated the mother. Who is this Jesus? And what happened to your son? And do you really think that we believe that Jesus healed him? And
Who is this man? And mother trying to explain, he's my son. He was blind from his birth. And who is this man? And do you really think that that really happened? You not taking in, you know, we don't understand why you're saying this, because you're influencing the people. They can follow Jesus and they believe that he healed this young lad. Who is what happened? I tell you what, I'm tired of telling you that it was Jesus. Go ask my son. He's the one that was healed. So they went to her son, the young lad that was healed. Then they started all over again. They went and interrogated him too. Who is this man? We don't know who he is. We don't know where he's come from. Are you sure he healed you? I said, I don't know. All I know is this man came to me and he spat on the ground and scooped up some clay and put it on my eye and told me to go wash in the pool, and I was healed. Say that. Everybody gonna honor him now. Everybody gonna glorify God because of that. They don't stop looking at us. They don't start looking at him.
Are you with me? Here he says, have you really defeated Satan? He says, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was great division among. That's what those that don't want to believe, let me tell you something, and I'm fully aware of that. Those who don't believe causes division. Those who don't believe causes confusion among the people. They want to cause doubt and confusion. Watch it now. Glory to God. They caused the mention division among the people. They said unto the blind man again, why sayest thou of him that he hath opened thy eyes? The Bible said his response was, when they were trying to convince him, that they interrogated him, trying to convince him, don't say it was Jesus that did this great wonder. But he said, no. He's the prophet of God. Here it is again. We're talking about Jesus Christ in the office of prophet. When Jesus fed the multitude with the 2 fish and 5 barley loaves of bread and told them to gather the fragments, amen, and it was more left over than they started with, the great prophet of prophets did this, talking about Jesus. What did he do? Perform great wonders. Luke 6:14 says this, then those men who they had seen the miracles that Jesus did said, this is of a truth that a prophet, there it is again, that a prophet that should come into the world. Amen. God also revealed himself to us through Jesus as a prophet. That's Hebrews 1:1-3. Let me read it real quick. Hebrews 1:1-3. It says this. Praise the Lord. It says, God at various times in different ways, various times and different ways have spoke to us in times past. And unto the Father, who by the prophets, let me read on, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the greatest prophet of all, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power of his word, when he hath by himself purged sin and sat down on the right hand of majesty. Once again, God revealed the prophet of prophets. He revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. The prophet of all prophets. Jesus spoke of himself as a prophet. Amen. Quickly, amen. The Bible tells us, amen, about Jesus. The Bible talks about Jesus and nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day. For it cannot be that a prophet should. There it is. Jesus said, it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets. Jesus, amen, referred to Jerusalem as the city that kills the prophets. Because remember now, he's getting ready to go to the cross. They were going to kill the greatest prophet of all. And that's why he called out and said, oh, Jerusalem, amen, that kills the prophets and stones that those sent unto her often. How often one eye together their children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and ye would not have it. In other words, Jesus Christ, through the great love that he had, amen, despite the fact that they were known to kill the prophets, he loved them yet still, despite their error, amen, despite what they were doing out of ignorance, he still loved them enough to want to scoop them up like a mother would scoop up her hen. In that love, he still wanted to scoop them up and hug them. Now that's love.
We also must understand that Jesus is more than a carpenter's son, more than Mary's baby, more than James and Joseph's brother, but he was a prophet rejected and not accepted among his own countrymen. Unbelief, amen, can cause a person to be blind to the truth standing right before them. I already talked about that, but let me give you the scripture, another scripture, that's Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 53 through 58. Let me read it. When Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, and he came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogues, and they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother Mary, called Mary's brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, they were not all with us. When then did this man get these things?" Amen. They took offense to it. You know how people are. I know him. I've been knowing him from even a little boy. You know? Don't let people, amen, limit you to what God wants to take you, because they knew you when you were a little boy. You know, we know, I know Jesus, you know, I remember he played in the field over there, you know. But the Bible says in verse 57, they took offense to it because Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and his own household." And he did not mean miracles there because of their unbelief. Why didn't he? Listen, not because he couldn't do it, it was because he wouldn't do it. Why? Because of unbelief. Their unbelief, that's right, their unbelief, not his unbelief, not what he couldn't do. He could do it. But they were limited in themselves because they refused to receive Jesus as the prophet, as the healer. So Jesus said, "Well, okay." He would not do any miracles and wonders there because they would not honor him for who he was, the Son of God, the prophet of all prophets. Let me move on. And as the men spoke to each other, amen, about Jesus and his resurrection, talking about the two men on the Emmaus road, they witnessed and talked with the risen Savior. They confessed that he was a prophet. That's Luke 24, 17 through 19. Let me read it. They still stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Philip said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said, "Jesus." "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." See that? But he was a prophet. And then in the triumphant entry into Jerusalem before he was to be crucified, there was a crowd that laid their garment and said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord." You guys remember that? But let me give you Matthew 21, 10 and 11. Matthew 21, 10 and 11. And it reads like this. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet, amen, from Nazareth of Galilee." The prophet gives light to God's message and commandments and the peril of disregarding their message from God. Amen. 1 Samuel 8 and 7 tells us about that as well. All right, now, Jesus clarified his message and teaching was not his own, but from God, John 17 and 19. The Bible says, Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one that you are now with is not your husband. What you have is said is true," the woman said. "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." There it is, amen. She was saying that, "I perceive there." Why? Because this prophet of prophets can look, amen, into the spiritual realm and see things and show people what God wants them to know, just like he did this woman at the well. Praise the Lord. Is everybody with me? So God wants to show you things, and he will show it through, amen, in this case, his prophet or his prophetess, and give you a message that God wants you to know, to condemn you, no, not necessarily, but to cause you to come to know God or to know him better. Quickly, let me conclude. So, what do we conclude about Jesus in the office of prophet? Let me tell you. Number one, he was sent by God and spoke not of himself, but of God. He did not teach his own doctrine, but what the Father instructed him to teach. He said that. I don't give you what I is of my own, but my Father gave me, I give to you. What he taught me, I teach you. Number three, he is not subject to man-made religious traditions and doctrines. Number four, as a prophet, he was to pierce through all the issues that the woman had at the well and had to get to the core of her state. That's what he was doing. And he was getting to the core of her situation.
which was she needed to be saved, and Jesus led her to salvation. Number five, Jesus was raised up as a prophet, as prophesied, and we are warned to heed his word. Number six, a prophet is not without honor except in his country town and his own household. Number seven, he was more than a carpenter's son, more than Mary's baby, more than Joseph's brother, but he was a prophet of God. Number eight, he was a prophet greater than Moses, for Moses dwelt in the house, but he was the house. He was powerful in word and deed as he performed miraculous wonders among the people. Number ten, Jesus spoke of the truth even in the face of religious leaders and dispelled their theology and misguided theology. Number 11, he revealed himself not only a prophet, but a healer. Number 12, he showed us that unbelief can rob a person of their blessing for refusing to accept Jesus for whom he was as a prophet from God, able to perform miracles. Number 13, he revealed himself as one of the authorities from God and as God's spokesperson. Number 14, he showed us that God's appointed time in history, God revealed himself to the world through him, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God. Number 15, he is a prophet who loves and cares for the people so much so that even when they are a danger even to themselves, he wants to scoop them up and protect them even from themselves because of misguided thought processes and wrong understandings of God and what he wants of them. Purpose. Number 16, he revealed himself to the disciples not just as a prophet, as Peter said, but through the Holy Spirit, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And lastly, number 17, he revealed himself, amen, to the ones on the Emmaus Road, not just as a great prophet, but as a risen Savior. He was the greatest prophet of all, even greater than Moses, even greater than Isaiah. He was a prophet of prophets, and he fulfilled God's calling. God revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now God wants us to do the same, go out there and show who God is through his great Son, Jesus Christ, the prophet.